Learning happens when all things come together in what can only be described as perfect chaos.
Unless you've been living under a rock for the past 5 years with no access to any outside news or really people, then you've probably had one or two things come into your classroom that you never thought you would have to talk about with your students. One of the hardest parts of teaching, in my opinion, is when the real world comes into our classroom in ways that we did not initially plan. It's something that all teachers eventually have to deal with in the classroom and can be a tricky situation to navigate. Today, we're going to talk about some of the ways we can navigate those waters that carry lots of potential hazards, yet still help our students understand, or at least make some sense of what is going on in the world around them.
We've kind of talked about some things, I think, just with that introduction there, you know, going back to our social emotional learning side, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we talked in that episode about things that were previously done at home that have come to the classroom. I think this is a continuation of that.
Well, and I think I think the world is getting harder.
So before we ever even get into this, is it getting harder or is it that things that previously were maybe blacked out because we didn't have access to it and now we do, or is it really getting harder?
I think both. I think there is a piece of the world that is getting harder. I think there is some truth to the, you know, seems like maybe we're more at moving towards ends of spectrums. The mean is getting meaner, but the nice is getting nicer. You know, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of middle of the road anymore.
Well, the reason why I say, when you say things are getting harder, there's so much that we have access to.
Right.
That we never used to.
Right.
You know,
and I think that contributes. But when I think of some of the things that our kids see and hear, and when I think of, you know, right now, the questions that kids are coming in with about Israel and Palestine.
Right. And that's, you know, that's what I'm talking about is when I was younger.
Right.
And I knew my dad had a whole lot of knowledge about it because of his role in the Marine Corps. Now, granted, a lot of that was done by the time I really got into the, like you said, in fourth grade and stuff. But I knew that he had a lot of that. But we really weren't, I guess we were really insulated from that. And we had one television. There were very few channels. And it was one of those that after 11 o'clock at night, it went off. And, you know, so the information just shut off. But now we have access to information 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Right.
In many different forms.
And I'm just thinking of, you know, when we were kids and, I mean, my parents would watch the news. And you might have one or two really hard stories. But then you also had, oh, it's Monday. So today we're going to have Monday's Child to help get
and the Heartland
a child adopted. And I mean, this is all local stuff. But
right.
You did have the Heartland series where it took you back into
rural Appalachia,
old timey rural Appalachia, and how were things done? You know, what now I guess would be considered a puff piece,
yeah,
on the news,
and
those used to be regular, like,
but yet they're crowded out now with the
hard stuff, the hard news, and then you look at. And this is by no means a puff piece of the news, and I'm really glad it happens. But one of the things, you know, that we see on our news is the service and sacrifice.
Right.
Right, which is wonderful and huge and great. But the problem with service and sacrifice is it's still, like, it's not negative news.
Right.
But it's still hard stuff.
Right.
Because while it's done to honor military members, and that's wonderful. They've had to do stuff to get there.
Right.
And that to me, like, even when we've lost that, you know, I mean, think about it. We would have never thought of, you know, Bert and Ernie having to tackle really hard issues.
Right. Now,
and now that's pretty commonplace,
right,
that kids' shows are having to. because, yes, we have more access, but I feel like there's also just more, you know, it kind of reminds me, I was talking to my mom the other day, and we were just chit-chatting, and I said, you know, I do kind of miss the days when it was okay to just not talk about something.
Right. Well, and that's I think that's something that's very important as well, because the fact, like, if you are a corporate citizen, and I'm saying corporate citizen in the term of something larger than just yourself, right? And even though if you're a person of influence, you have to, like, you're expected to respond and right. give your opinion on something.
Right.
And the problem with that is there are some of these situations that we'll never know everything that's going on. But yet I have to pick a side, and right. that side may put me on the wrong side of what I'm trying to do.
Well, and when we were talking about it, we were just talking about, you know, we live in the South, and there were just things that weren't discussed.
Right.
Period. Or if they were discussed, they were discussed between two people, not right. in a large room.
Right.
And I do kind of miss that. I miss being able to just be like, this is not a public consumption
right.
deal. So in my mind, I think we do have a situation where, oh yeah, no, we do now have a 24-hour news cycle.
Right.
And then you have 24 hours of other news or fake news or whatever we want to call it. I'm not even making fun of anybody by saying fake, but like the Babylon Bee or, right. you know, the spoof news.
Right.
You know.
Well, and it's interesting. We've got 24 hours of news, but we don't have 24 hours of stuff to fill the news. So we have to fill it with commentary. So one thing happens, you know, used to, if you remember, something happened. And it hit the news, and you knew it was a big deal because it had a logo and theme music. We're breaking in, you know, and then they talked about it, and then they were done.
Right.
And now certain things like the wars and stuff like that, there were, you know, I remember when,
It was a big deal if they broke into like your mama's soap operas in between the noon news and the 6 o'clock news.
Right.
Or, you know, after the 6 o'clock news went off and Wheel of Fortune was on. If they came back on during Wheel of Fortune and did that, I mean, I can remember being so frustrated. Of course, I was a kid, so I really didn't have a whole lot of, like, understanding of what was going on in the world.
Right.
But I can remember being so frustrated when, I think it was Hurricane Andrew that hit Florida?
Yeah.
Okay. And that was, I mean, I knew there was an Andrew and a Hugo, and one of them hit the Carolinas and one hit Florida.
Thing is, if I remember right,
I think Andrew hit Florida. Right. Regardless, whichever one hit Florida, this is, you know, back in the 90s. I can remember, might have been late 80s even, they kept showing things and they kept breaking in. And I can remember I was trying to watch The Wonderful World of Disney on Sunday night, right? And they broke in and they just kept talking and they kept saying the same things. I was like, okay,
right.
We get it. Florida's getting hit by a hurricane. I don't live there. Can I watch my Disney right. now? Right? So it's like you had those break-ins, but it was a big deal for them to break in.
Right.
And now it seems like...
They don't even have to break yet. They don't have to break in because there's so many things that are already there.
Yeah.
And we get automatic notifications to our phones
right.
and all that. So all of this stuff, let's kind of get in. So I think our last little 3 minutes here has kind of been the answer to the first question. But how do hard topics make their way into the classroom? You know...
Well, I think we have to think about these hard topics on both... a macro scale that students see on TV, they hear it on the radio, they see it on Twitter/X, whatever we're going to call it, Instagram.
We're not going to call it X.
We're not going to call it
X. At least not football
side. I'm not
going to
call it X. I can't figure out what... They're still called tweets. So I'm confused. That's its own other thing. Facebook, radio, just hearing like big things.
Right.
Israel, Palestine. That's big a macro thing.
Right.
Thing.
Right.
But then there's a lot of micro things that our students see and hear that maybe they were meant to hear, but maybe they weren't. And that, I think we have to remember that they're all going to come in the classroom.
Well, it's kind
both the micros and the macros.
Well, it's kind of funny. You know, when I think about this, and everybody knows when I get ready to say that, when I think about this,
you're going to go talk West Wing.
I am not, though. You know,
you're not going to use West Wing?
No, I'm actually going to bring in the rap star Eminem, because he said, you know, he got the part of the song.
You went to Eminem.
I did, right? He's like, they got the Discovery Channel, don't they? And, you know,
I do remember that part.
You know, and that's, I think, what we're talking about now. But now, instead of the Discovery Channel, we have the Everything Channel, like the Everything Channels. There's something for everything. And when I say channels, we're not talking about just on the TV. We know most of our kids don't even know what a cable box did, and heaven help them know that they have to flip through channels on it. You know,
we still had to get up and walk across the room to flip through the channel.
Right. You know, most of them are getting, you know, that entertainment through, you know, streaming services, Netflix and Amazon and all of those. So they skip over the news, but they get it through other things. Like they get the short segment through TikTok or Snapchat or Twitter, X or Facebook or Instagram or, you know, any of these different things. Or, you know, we have all of the different apps, you know. I have several on my phone that I get different things from, you know, like the Drudge Report and all this, and they get very small little nuggets of everything. So and that's one of the things that we have with our son. Like he'll take that part, that 7 seconds, that 15 seconds, that 30 seconds,
and take that long opinion,
lock, stock, and barrel, you know, to support this opinion. I'm like, okay. The only problem is you have one millionth of a percent
of what actually happened.
And we've got to take a look at the rest of stuff. But then he's got, well, what side do you come down on? Well, what do you mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't have the ability to form an opinion, right. but you're a leader. You've got to have an opinion on this. No, I don't.
No, not until.
But yet now we got to have the ability to talk about this in the classroom, and we can't necessarily have an opinion on it, but we have to talk about it to answer the questions of our students.
Right. Well, and I think, you know, a lot of times, and I'll use our own kids as an example, more Alyssa than Brayden, but I can remember when she was, I have no clue what they're doing either. Sounds like vacuuming.
She's blending right now.
She's blending. Yes. Okay, good.
And I'm blending.
You're blending? Okay. y'all, that is just a crazy train at our house all the time.
Well, that's why it is. Perfect chaos.
Perfect chaos.
Better than her dancing at the door.
It is better than her dancing at the door. Thank you for shutting it earlier. So one of the things when she was younger, and really to a point now, although now she's 20, so we have slightly less. I don't want to say slightly less say, but there's not as much, you know, I'm going to tell you what to do going on in our house as there used to be. But I can remember telling her things, and she would go, I mean, pretty much directly against whatever I told her. Or she would push the limits or the boundaries. And then she was like, well, why are you mad at me? And I'm like, because I specifically told you not to do this. And she goes, yeah, but I'm a kid. And I want to, like, try things and make mistakes. And
we're fine with that.
That's fine. But she looked at me once. She goes, did you not ever have fun? And I was like, yeah, I had a ton of fun. But I did what my parents told me to.
Right.
And now, I'm not saying that I was the perfect kid. I did a few things behind my parents' back. Even they would tell you not much. But I did do some things that I should not have done. But it's like the boldness that there is now.
Right.
And I bring that up because I can remember my mom and dad having conversations, and still to this day, they'll have conversations and be like, you need to go
right
into another room. This is not a you conversation. And so I got up and went to another room and like right read a book or watched TV.
And now
our kids, you and both you of them, but definitively room the oldest one, you tell her to go to another room. Okay. She might walk out the door, but then she's going to sit at the door
right
to hear what you're saying.
I'm in another room. I'm in the hallway now.
Right. And it's not like part of it is a curiosity. But I think one of the things that maybe our generation, just because I know this is something that, you know, a lot of people our age that have kids, our kids' age, like have mm-hmm had this conversation. And we've talked about it and they say things like, you know, I just don't understand. Like, why do my kids think they need to be all up in everything?
Right.
And it's almost like we took... When our parents would say, this is not something that concerns you. And then we went to the other end of, no, right, we want to be really transparent with our kids and let them know things. And so it's like we flipped all right the way over, which is fine.
Well, because we're like, well.
Now our kids hear things that.
They don't need to.
They don't necessarily need to hear.
Right.
And there's not, I mean, you and I have had, I mean, our kids are 20 and 15 right now. And how many times have we been like, okay, we're going to go to the grocery store just because there was something we needed to talk about. Right. And that's the only way.
Well, I'll go with you. No,
no, no, no, no, no. We're going.
This know is us. We got this taken care of. You're good.
Or we stay up until midnight or 1 a.m. when we really need to be in bed asleep.
And they would be like, are you not going to bed yet?
Yeah. I mean.
Well, I'll stay up with you.
And it's, trust me, it's not that our kids run the house,
no,
but
no.
There is, you know.
Well, I think part of that's like the expectation that there is, with the access to information.
Right.
There,
that there's access.
That there's access. And, you know, it's kind of that part of the thing that, you know, and you know, and part of my jobs, you know, I just don't talk about.
Right.
One, I've been involved with patient care. So I'm not allowed to tell you about patient care.
Right.
So I don't. And we're at the at the guard base, you know, there's things that
right
I don't
if you
talk
told
about
me, you'd have to kill me.
Or I just go to jail. But that's a different story, you know.
Right.
And you know, it's not like I don't want to. It's like I can't, you know. And
right
there's nothing to that. And I remember even, you know, at the beginning, like, well, you could just tell me, like, you know, hey, you see this? Yeah, I was there. You know, that's what I could get because it'd go beyond that and I get into protected information. And
right
then after that, it was okay. But then the kids started going, well, what about this? Like, what? Well, you know, you don't get that part. Well, why not? Because they're so used to being able to turn on and get whatever,
right,
everything they want. You know, we at one point in time had to go to the library and look at a card catalog.
And
it's like, heaven help, you know, it's hard to believe that public libraries still exist because it's like, well,
I just go
online.
But they do, and everybody should go. Public libraries
absolutely
are a
I completely agree
blessing. I'm just tossing that out there.
You were at a conference the other day, and I stopped by to see you, and one of the things, I parked right outside of the McGee-Lawson Library, or Lawson McGee, I guess is
McGee
Lawson McGee Library, which is downtown Knoxville Library. So anybody that wants to go, like I remember going downstairs and there was a spiral staircase in between the first and the second floor. It was, you know, there was so much stuff.
Libraries are treasures.
Right. But now they have that at the fingertips. We're talking about that just earlier today on our walk. It's like, well, how do you find this stuff? Well, I just go ahead and put it in Google, you know, or Bing or whatever right search bar. You know,
yeah, so we're not putting it in Bing.
We're not putting it in Bing. So
not okay that we're like throwing shade on Bing.
Because, right, you know, you never know. Bing may want to sponsor us, but if Google wants to, come on.
I just don't want Bing to sue us.
Because they have access to information. AI is out there. AI is
yes
there. So, all right. So, you know, they're going to get the information.
Right. Kids are going to hear things, think, whether we want them to hear it or not.
I think we have firmly grasped that. They are going to get the information.
Yeah, so we might have gone on a sidebar there.
So why is it important for us to address these topics? Because, as you said, at one point in time, it's like, look, that's not for this classroom.
Right.
That's not appropriate for you, the X grader, you know, first, second, third, fourth, up to 12th.
Even in
collegiate.
Up to college.
Higher eds, you know, it's not appropriate for us to talk about it. That's not, so why is it important for us to now talk about it?
I think there's multiple reasons that it's important for us to now talk about it. One of them, and this may be, not all of our students, regardless of what age we're talking about, have access to people that will talk about things with them, or that have the capability to talk about things with them, or that have the desire to talk about things with them. And I think that there is a part of learning the world around you and understanding the world around you that we did. We just did it in a different way. But I think now, because our kids are inundated with so much and they're seeing so much, you know, and we've talked about trauma-informed teaching before. You know, I'm sure talk about it again at some point.
Right, absolutely.
But there's so much more that they're being exposed to, but their brains have not developed in a different way. So some of it is we as teachers have the knowledge of how their brains develop. So sometimes it may be something as simple as we need to talk about it with them, just simply to get it into their terms. Because odds are, whatever they've seen on the news or heard parents talking about in the car or whatever, it was not talked about on a child's level or in a way that their brain could grasp.
Right.
Right. So, first reason being the same reason that we use different examples when we teach things, to make things make sense to them.
Right.
I mean, that's reason number one, because they may not always have somebody that can do that. That's kind of my big deal. Reason number two would be, I don't know that all of our kids always have a safe space in which they can talk about things. So I feel like that is also really important. And reason number three would be, if the only place, and I have done several just anecdotal polls in my undergrad classes, and I've been doing this for years. They don't get their news from the news.
Nope.
Now, whether or not the news is non-biased, that's a whole conversation for a whole other day that I am not going to get into.
Right.
But they're getting their news from TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, mm-hmm. Twitter, X Twitter, whatever. Twixer. I'm going to start calling Twixer.
Well,
that way it's got an X in it. That's where they're finding out what's going on in the world around them.
Right.
Okay, so that's all fine and good, except, oh, wait, people on social media don't really disagree well,
right,
or appropriately. And I think sometimes
social media is not a spot that you ever win an argument.
No, no. But I think sometimes being able to show our students, okay, we can talk about hard things. We can even talk about some controversial things without the world going all up in arms in our
right.
classroom. I think they need some of that. I think they need some of that positive, you know, modeling of how we do things. You know, I think back, I had an undergrad student in my office. I don't know, it's been within the past month. And she's sitting there and she's having this whole conversation, and she's very upset. because she thought she was dating this guy, and turns out he was dating four or five other people. And she said, this is just not how I roll. I'm not here to be a contestant on The Bachelor.
Right.
And I said, well, what do you mean? Because, you know, I mean, you know this. I don't watch The Bachelor or The Bachelorette or really much of anything.
There's Golden Bachelor.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. That's fine. Everybody's got their own, like, trashy TV that they watch. They're mind-numbing,
right?
Mindless TV. I don't really watch much TV unless it's sports or something you have turned on. lots of West Wing.
I don't watch very much with you anymore. The West Wing.
You were watching it like 2 weeks ago. You watched it until you got to the end and then watched the 2018 special? 29? I don't even know.
2020, I think it was.
Was it 2020?
It's either 2016 or 20. Yeah, I guess it's 2016.
Okay. As I say, it wasn't 2020. Yeah. That was COVID.
Yeah. Well, no, it was.
Was it?
Yeah, because they, if you remember, Josh Lyman's character gets on there and say, under the strictest COVID protocol.
Oh, so yeah, that's right. So it was 2020. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So you even watched that one once you got to the end of the normal ones.
Y'all guys, if you hadn't seen it, it's a redo of one of their episodes. Kind of cool. Other than the fact it didn't have John Spencer in it.
Well,
that was Leo.
That's because he's dead.
Yes.
You cannot bring him back from the dead.
No.
But lately, you've been watching, I mean, you've watched Top Gun Maverick at least twice in the past
twice.
2 days.
Not 2 days, four days when I started. And the only reason when I watched is because I went back and didn't see the middle part of it because I went to the store. But
okay. Anyway.
Right. I think that gets us into our next question, though. Is where they get their source, mm-hmm. the people that are supporting them, the people that they talk to, the access to the people that those people talk to, are all lead into the landmines.
Right.
That could be potentially something that we have to navigate when talking these topics.
Right.
Because it's not very, a lot of these topics, as we've mentioned, you know, kind of putting, I'm going to use the term pop culture only because that pop culture is what's going on right now. So if somebody comes back, listens to this 5 years from now, they're like, what are you talking about? So right now we've got the stuff that's going on over in Israel and Palestine with Hamas and all of this. So again, pop culture reference, it's what's going on today. You know,
Which is very divisive.
There's people that are on the pro-Israeli side, the pro-Palestinian side. And so if you talk about it to somebody that's on one of those sides and you kind of give the other perspective, like a lot of times these conversations go with devil's advocacy. Then next thing you know, they're like, well, you're advocating and trying to get my kid to do this.
Right.
Or
indoctrination is the word everybody likes to use.
Right. So,
and it doesn't have to be even, I mean, that's one of the hard things, but there's lots of other things that we could talk about
right
now that are just nuts. I mean,
right now, like football refs.
Yeah.
And we see, and their insertion, you know, just this weekend alone, we've been to two football games, a high school and college.
Yeah.
And then we've watched at least one other and had some others on last night, but really didn't pay attention to any of them. And you saw the insertion of the refs in there. So what is your perspective on refs and how it actually, you know,
how do you even respond to that question?
Right.
Right. And there is something to be said about, again, when we just didn't answer, which was what Josh Heupel chose to do.
He did. I like
and it. And he was made that, his
was, next question.
His was point that, very clear.
Was that appropriate amount of time? Silence.
But I think, you know, anything that people are passionate about or feel strongly about can become one of these hard topics.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't, like I said, it can be macro, it can be micro, you know,
LeBron James.
LeBron James can be very controversial.
When people are either very staunch supporters or very not.
Right.
And we've had this with Braden.
The Kelce Swift. I'm just saying that because
it pops
at this
up.
Moment, Travis Kelce is on my fantasy team and he's in the red zone. Well, so
I just looked at, or I had something pop up, and it's, you know, Taylor Swift's on the sideline. She's got Travis Kelce's number on a bracelet now, you know, so it's, should that be the news? Should it not? Should, you know, and so, yeah, I mean, I use the LeBron James because we've had the conversation with Braden,
but even
and
things
even
that are
with Braden, our feeling on the other side becomes an attack to him.
Right. Right. Well, you know? And I mean, I'm even thinking about things that are just hard to talk about.
Right.
When Kobe Bryant died.
Yep.
Like, that's a rough conversation. And why does that make its way to kids? Because you got kids that I hate to use the term idolized, for lack of a better term. Kobe Bryant.
Right.
You know, and then it's that conversation.
In the
sports
stature.
Right. And then you've got some kids that are like, oh my gosh, I'm devastated. Kobe Bryant's dead. And you got other kids that are like, who's Kobe Bryant?
Right.
Right. So you've got that on a macro level. But then you've also got things like, I mean, one that came out of my classroom when I taught high school. A kid came in and he was like, dude, my brother was arrested last night. They woke us up. Right.
I'm going to go even one further. And unfortunately, this is a super huge deal right now in Tennessee that just last night or not last night, either yesterday afternoon or Friday afternoon, two police officers were shot in one of our Tennessee cities.
Right.
Comes to find out it's the estranged son of the police chief of the second largest city county within Tennessee.
Right.
And you know, so now there's a lot of controversy, you know, on that. And he has to respond. He has to provide a public comment because it's his.
Well, we're kind of hitting on that there is some controversy, but even when we're talking about landmines, not everything is a landmine because it's a controversial topic.
Right.
Sometimes it's a landmine because it's super triggering to somebody, or there's something that really bothers them about that topic, or, you know, and especially if we look at some of the micro things that occur that we're dealing with, you know, one student comes in and, you know, my grandma died yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, and especially with little kids, they will announce that, but the undergrads do it too. I mean, and then it's okay. Well, once that's out there in the middle of class, you have to address it. You can't just skip over it and ignore the fact that it was said. I mean, there are some people that would say you should just skip over it. I'm just not one of them.
Right.
And if you want to skip over it, go you to your classroom. You do your thing. I'm not going to skip over it. You know, but even at, you get up into undergraduate and graduate level courses and, you know, in my program, these kids are going into practicums in schools and they're seeing what some of the kids go through.
Right.
What some of the P-12 students are going through. And they walk back into an undergrad classroom and, you know, they don't tell who the kid is, but they're like, y'all, this is the situation. And, you know, your students out on clinicals, I mean, they're not seeing the best of the best. And like, you don't see people at...
Right. Most people don't call 911 when they're having the best day.
Right. Right. I mean, so I think when we think about the landmines, you've got the obvious, the controversial landmines. That's an easy thought, right?
Right.
I mean, we're coming up on an election year. Lord help us all.
And it's already started.
And it's already started, and people say,
everything has got a connotation to it.
I mean, you can't do anything without it meaning something.
Right.
Right? so you've got those, the controversial things, the things that, okay, that's easy. I can spot that landmine
a mile
100 like centimeters. I don't even have to get right, you know, like I can see it. It's got a big old neon sign that says, hey, I'm here. I'm going to cause you problems. But then you've got the other things like somebody comes in and, man, I saw a dead dog on the side of the road. And then all of a sudden, here's the other student that, yeah, that was my dog.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're going to have a conversation because you can't, like, you can't just ignore that. You can't ignore that all that's been said. So I think you've got those big obvious ones, religion, politics, SEC football.
SEC refs.
SEC refs.
Or outside refs.
Any refs. Being, yeah. Any refs. By the way, I'm not normally one that says, oh my God, the refs, but I've seen, like, it's been a bad weekend for refs.
And it's not even one single one because we...
No, yeah. It's across multiple conferences and multiple divisions and multiple levels.
Yeah.
And we're not even saying that because we lost all the games. I'm just saying.
We did. There
we
was
didn't
one,
lose
one,
all the games.
One out of three this weekend.
Yeah. But it just, you know, politics, religion, SEC football, refs, people's families, right? Those things that we hold strong opinions about, you know, the things that people want to tell you they're going to solve, those kinds of things. Money. Whenever you talk about money, let's go back to not talking about money.
Yeah, right.
Because there's, quite honestly, I don't really care how much money Elon Musk has.
Right.
I know he has more than me and I have
maybe
things to do. Right. But then we do have to think about, okay, then there's those micro landmines.
Right.
The deaths in families, the arrests, the addiction problems, the poverty, the food insecurity, and contrary to popular belief, and amazingly enough, I just had somebody last week, I was at another institution, and somebody from that institution, we were eating lunch. We had a meeting there, and then we were eating lunch there, and they had a big chili cook-off to raise money for their food pantry for their college students. And this person that teaches there was like, yeah, because apparently college students have food insecurity. And I'm like,
absolutely,
yeah,
they do.
They absolutely have food insecurity. And that's great. I mean, not food insecurity. It's great that they're doing something about it. But I think those are some of those hidden landmines,
right,
that we never know. Right. If your kids have suffered an eating disorder.
Yep.
If they have, you know, mental health issues, or if someone in their family had, you know, I think there's a lot of that we have to navigate. And I think navigating that makes it too easy to look up and go, we're just not going to talk about this.
Right.
When in actuality, we kind of need to be talking about it.
So it's funny you bring up food because it's how I'm setting up this next question here. But, you know, one of the most loaded questions is when you go into a family conversation and goes, what do you want to eat for dinner tonight?
Yeah, you would know about that being one of the most loaded questions.
Well, what's funny is you all ask me and I say, look, I really don't care. And that's because 99.9% of the time, I really don't care.
I know you really don't care.
What's funny is when you ask that question, like, I really don't care. And you're like, well, what about such and such? Nah, don't want it. Nah, don't want it. And I'm not talking about us specifically, just in general. Like, you're out with a group of people, like, yeah, I really don't care. And then they're like, no, I don't want that. No, I don't want that. It's like, well, then just tell me what you do want, and we could make this a whole lot easier. So the question is,
I've told you before, I don't know what I want, right. but I know what I don't want.
And so one of the things we ask now is,
what do you don't want?
Is there anything that you do want or don't want? And
right.
And if we get one of the two of those, then we can at least narrow down. So the with that, it's like, how do we truly stay neutral on some of these controversial topics? And this kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier, you know, anymore now, if you're a corporate citizen, when you talk about like most of our institutions and stuff like that, they're almost expected to provide a stance on where they are.
Right.
And so that means we have to have an opinion.
Right.
But when we go into these conversations and goes into really the next question as well, but when we go into some of these questions, it's not our conversation.
Right. And I think for me, one of the things that I always tried really, really hard to do is, and it may come from living with you. I try really hard to be able to talk logically about both sides of an argument.
Right.
Regardless of how I feel. Now, part of that is because in my mind, I function based in logic. So for me to even determine which side I'm on, I have to get the logic from both sides.
By the way, I've got a West Wing reference to bring into this one. Go ahead.
I'm sure you do. But I think that when I was, I talked some pretty controversial topics. We had some pretty hard discussions. When you teach criminal justice and you're teaching about terrorism and the death penalty and, you know, in the middle of Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, Everybody's Lives Matter, and all of that, we had to have some pretty controversial discussions. I was teaching criminal justice in the middle of the presidential campaign when Trump was elected. My kids would ask me, well, who are you for? Who are you for? And I'm like, I'm not going to tell you who I'm for until the end of the year.
Right.
And then you can guess.
Yeah.
And at the end of the year, they split directly down the middle. They could not determine, because when I talk about it in a classroom, in order for me to help my students make sense of the world around them, I have to be A, open to hearing them, but B, I can't fall on one side or the other.
Because you alienate or lose half of them that's in the classroom.
Correct.
Well, I'm not going to talk to her because she's this or right. that.
And it's not even,
it's not a left or right or a, no. you know,
she's and it's for not me even
or against me, or she's for this person, which means she's against, you know.
Right. So one of the examples that I always use when I talk about this, like with social media, when I'm talking in educational technology, and I'm trying to explain to undergrads, you know, you have got, like, you have to think before you put stuff out there.
Right.
And one of the things I always use is, you know, if you are of legal drinking age and you go to an institution that does not have a rule against that, and you decide that you want to partake of an alcoholic beverage and you are of legal drinking age, okay, fine. But you don't have to post it.
Right.
Because here's what happens, and here's the part that we don't think about. I'm not saying this as a, oh, teachers should never be seen with alcohol. That's not what I'm saying. Right. The problem is, what if one of your future students finds that picture and the only thing they know about alcohol is, oh, that's the same thing my dad drinks before he comes home and beats mom and passes right. out. You don't have a shot to make a relationship right. with that kid. They're terrified of you. So, and I guess this is one of those ways that life was easier right. when we were young.
You didn't
Because
you had a resume that you gave to them, and then it was word of mouth after that.
There were pictures, but they were like on film.
Right.
And it took a lot to get those out and like spread around, whereas right now it takes me 0.2 seconds.
To drop it from a live thing going on to out in the community.
You know, and that is one of the ways that we had it easier, because we all made mistakes. Our mistakes just weren't recorded and on TikTok. And even the ones that were recorded, it takes too many steps to get the old videos into the
right
atmosphere.
to go from VHS or beta or some of the others.
I mean,
well, you know.
And I think that's a very... I always think back to that when I have to have some of these hard conversations, is it doesn't do my kids any good for me to pick a side.
Right.
And I was raised, my grandmother and grandfather owned businesses. My parents owned a business. My dad was like, I was raised that you just didn't talk about things out in public.
Right. Because that can, and
because
now,
it could destroy your business.
Right.
I mean,
your livelihood
that was,
and after that. And now it's even, you know, that's.
You know, I can remember, and you know this, we never had a political sign in our yard until.
There was only one.
My grandmother.
Approved it.
Approved it. And that's the only political sign that has ever gone in any of our yards.
Right.
And she felt strongly enough, and it was a local election. It wasn't like...
Right, we're not statewide or federal election.
I'm not
election.
Talking federal election. I'm talking about the city, county mayor.
County mayor was what, yeah. Well,
right? And so I was raised with that thought process. So for me, it's an easy on how do I stay neutral. Is I just do, like...
Right.
Because in my mind, when I'm in the act of teaching, that's the logic side of me.
Right.
And the logic side of me doesn't pick sides. The emotion side of me does.
Right.
Now, has it always been easy? No.
Right.
When I had a student whose mother died and I had to tell the class, I mean, and we're still close. He's getting married to one of your former students.
Right.
Right? Like, I'm pretty sure we're going to go to that wedding. But having to have that conversation, that was a hard conversation.
Yeah.
But it didn't do my kids any good for me to become emotional about it. You know, having to talk about 9/11 and process the emotions of that when I was talking to kids that thought that it was like on a 10-second delay.
Right.
You know, didn't realize we watched it. You know, I had emotional topics, but I had to stay neutral on the topic because it doesn't do them any good for me to get in my emotions about it.
Well, one of the things that you were mentioning earlier, and when I joked that I have the West Wing reference, you know, if you go back, there was the episode where they were trying to get a new Supreme Court justice, right? And they started to talk, and
Because I feel like they did that.
They did that twice.
But they got three new justices out of it, right?
They got three new justices because of Donna's dog and cat or parents' cats. One wanted a cat, but they didn't want that kind of cat. So they got two cats, both people. So they came up with this plan.
So are we talking about the two or the one?
They're talking about the two. And this is the one where you had the female that came in that was the very liberal individual. And they're like, there's no way that you can get this person passed. So they were
Glenn Close.
Yes. And in that conversation, the deputy chief of staff and the communications director were interviewing her. And one of the things that they said, well, what about this? And she's like, well, who are you? I was like, well, you know, one of the people on the committee. It's like, you know, you can't do that. It's like, well, what do you mean? It's like, well, if you're this person, it's the, the conversation about this, but if it's this person on the committee, then it's this. If it's this one, it's going to be this. And
right.
like she knew everybody that was going to be on the confirmation committee and the questions they would ask and how that would need to be presented.
Right.
And we're put in that position. So you kind of have to, you know, prepare yourself. And, you know, and the reason why I bring this up now is getting into our next question is like how to provide that safe space. Well, if you have only your biased side of the conversation,
right,
then the only thing you can do is have your biased side of the conversation. And so how do we give our students a safe space to have a voice with what's going on around us? Because we don't want to make them very tension-filled environments. You know, we are trying to, you know, deal with what they're dealing with. And it could be because it's tied to their religion or tied to their heritage or tied to something that's deeply ingrained in them. And now they're questioning everything about what's going on. And right. if you tie to that side that's opposite to them, you lose them.
Right.
So how do we give them a safe space? Do we need to say, you know, I've got 30 people in my classroom. Well, you know, I'll mention, you know, we got 20 in many of our classes. So do I need to have 20 different perspectives on, you know, a topic that has what we think is two sides, but it's really about 20 different sides. So
right.
I could go down a rabbit hole.
Absolutely. And I don't know. And I do still think there is value in there are some things that we just have to look at kids and go, you know what?
I don't have it.
I really want to have a discussion with you about this. I really want you to feel like you can say what you need to say about it. But this particular topic we need to do in smaller group right. settings. And I think that's okay. But the question of how do we make it a safe space? We got to care about the little things before they're going to trust us with the big ones.
Right.
And that means things like when they're flipping out because some randomosity thing has happened that we know because we're grown people and we recognize that whatever this randomosity thing that has happened is, it is not a big deal in the grand scheme of things. But you know what? It's a big deal to that kid right then.
Right.
So I think that's a number one is you care when it's the little things.
Right.
I guess technically a number one should be, you know, your kids' names. I will say this. I know people that teach kids for semesters and even a year, and they do not know that kid's name. If that's the kind of teacher you are, good luck.
Right.
Because you can't have these hard discussions. They're not going to trust you with them. I think showing them that, you know, you're willing to have the discussion, but also that you are going to be cognizant of who else is in the room, what else is going on in the room. I think even just saying things when things come up, right? So when some of these big deal things are happening, to just acknowledge it, even before they can get it out, right? So they come in and you know something has happened because you know your kids, you know the community, you know whatever, to be able to say something like, hey, I know this has happened and I know everybody's probably got some questions. We need to get through this, this, and this, and then we're gonna have some time and talk about it. Or saying things like, you know what, I don't have an answer. I'm not super sure when I don't know became bad, but to look at a student and say, I don't know why this problem exists or why it can't be solved. Being real with them, not giving them the, oh, well, it'll get better. You'll see. That's just not... that doesn't work for them. And it honestly doesn't work for most people, right? I can remember back when Braden was so, so sick when he was a baby. And I go back to that because it was one of those times that, you know, people would look at you and say, well, you know, God won't give you more than you can handle. Or I can remember a person looking at me and saying, do you think the medication that you had to take when you were pregnant is what caused him to be sick? Well, if I hadn't taken the medication I took when I was pregnant, he wouldn't have made it here. And then, possibly neither would I.
Right.
So that's an unnecessary comment. But the platitudes, the, you know, life is hard. Yeah, that's not.
Thanks for that.
Yeah, no, right? Like that never. But also the, well, I know this seems bad, but think about how much worse it could be. Right? And to use one of the things that you used to say all the time. But the, well, that could have been bad. Okay. Granted, we're looking at it and seeing that, okay, this is not that bad.
Right.
This is not a big deal. But that kid's looking at it, and it is bad.
Yep.
So, now, I joke with you about it because that's what y'all used to say all the time. And it makes sense for why you said it.
Right.
But you'd have never said it to somebody that you didn't, that was not part right. of that group that said it.
Yep.
Right. So, I think sometimes just knowing, remembering who we're talking to. No, we're not going to have 20 different responses. But remembering who we're talking to and how they need to be talked to. But also then remembering things like, what is the community around them? And I can't tell you how many classrooms I've been in where I have watched a student come up to the teacher and they're talking to him about something. And the teacher is doing what we do as teachers do. We keep working and we're listening and we're right. engaging. But that kid thinks that we're there. They have become our second priority.
Right.
Right. So things as simple as that, looking at them when they talk to us, which seems like a, well, yeah. But how many times do we sit and because we're in the middle of something and or we're working on something else and we keep writing or we keep, you know, our pencil going or we keep grading or whatever. We have to give them attention.
Right.
You know, one of the things that we get out of having hard conversations with our kids is we get to know who they are. And how they think and how they process things. And that to me is as, if not more important than the standards that we're teaching.
Right.
Now, I am admittedly a relational teacher. I honestly don't know how people teach without being relational. So that's just me. But that is a, to me, we have to put that work in at the beginning.
Right.
Being interested in what they have to say, listening to them. You know, I used to eat with my kids once a week in the cafeteria. And that was huge to them. And sometimes they would ask questions about class, and sometimes they just wanted to talk about life. And you know what? It's fine. Talk about life. Sometimes we talked about football. I know that shocks everybody that I talked about football, but, you know, I mean, let them lead a conversation every now and then. Take an interest in what they're doing. Those are the ways that we make it a safe space.
Right.
Remembering things that they've told you. You know. Didn't you say you had a dog? Well, how's your puppy doing? Right? Things like that, that are simple. Simple things to remember. But that means the world to a kid.
Right.
You know, that to me is how we make it a safe space.
So, hard conversation about hard topics at school. So certainly if anybody has any feedback on this, make sure to hit the button, send us a message, and we'd love to hear how you have handled some of these situations, or how you think, you know, if you're in the student teaching realm, or looking to become a teacher, you know, if you've got questions about how you think, you know, something should be presented, let us know. So,
or if you're a student, if you're just a student, whether you want to be a teacher or not, like, what do you think?
Yeah.
Tell us, what does it mean to you when your teachers will have the hard conversations with you,
or what you think they should or should not have,
right,
in the conversation. So, all right, time for your tip of the week.
All right. So my tip of the week, my tip today is to get outside. Where we are, where we live, the weather is just now turning to fall. It got a little cold last week. Now we're going to be back in the 70-ish, low 70s this week. The leaves are starting to change. It's beautiful outside. So right before we recorded, we went on a walk. We went and walked 2 miles, and it was perfect. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, long sleeve t-shirt. Had the dog with us. I had one of the dogs with us, not both of them. Had the puppy with us. You know, it was shady. There's leaves. There's a creek. Life was just good. But I don't tell people to go out and walk 2 miles every day. Because that would be hypocritical of me, because I don't go out and walk 2 miles every day.
If you can,
that's great. But there is real research done by very reputable people about how much being outside can improve both your mood and your health.
Yeah.
So even if it's just to go outside and see the sunshine, even if it's just taking your kids out for a quick brain break, just go outside. Maybe take them on a short walk outside. It may just be a 10-minute walk, but that 10 minutes that you spend outside could make a huge difference on both them and you for the rest of the day. I think sometimes it's easy. We get bogged down in our classrooms. And so just go outside and breathe some air, some fresh air. Hopefully everybody's got some fresh air. But if you don't, Tennessee is closed. Move to Kentucky. No, I don't mean that, but seriously, get outside, see the sunshine. You know, we are moving into the time of year where things like seasonal affective disorder start messing with mental health. So just get you a little vitamin D, a little bit of the outside world.
Yep.
Without a phone. I mean, we walked 2 whole miles, and yes, I had my phone in my pocket because that's how I knew that we walked 2 miles, but we didn't have music. We just sat there and we in stride talked.
I did send a couple pictures about golf.
You did.
But Frisbee golf course to somebody that, like.
Yes.
So.
But in general, there was no, like, big mass, oh, we got to be on our phones. We didn't have to have music. We didn't have AirPods in. It was just the outside world. So that's my tip. Get outside.
I am looking at mine right now because I had somebody going in the red zone. I'm starting to look rather disappointed in my fantasy football season this year. So,
this game
makes a difference between whether I stay above 500 or below 500.
Oh, well.
So
I think I'm going to be above 500.
You're trending for the win there, 87% probability to win.
Yes, because so. I have.
And you still have 3 players out.
I have Travis Kelce.
32 points. So
Taylor Swift has been awesome for Travis Kelce, yeah, which therefore makes her awesome for my fantasy team. We
have to have some conversations with them to break that up. So
No. So. I've already played you and beat you. What does it matter?
Well, we've got another game, if I remember right. But
I don't remember.
It all works out.
I beat you. I beat Braden.
We've got week 12 still. So
today, I'm going to beat Dad, which is like.
These are hard conversations right now.
It's going to be a hard conversation when I beat him.
Yeah. All right, as we conclude today, we'd like to say that we always look forward to recording these episodes and engaging with each one of you. However, without your feedback, we do not know what you're thinking. Now, I know what you're thinking right now is like, hey, you've not been on the air for a little while, but we're back. Lots of big things coming, so just keep an eye out for some of those things on the Perfect Chaos, all of our stuff. Here in the near future. So please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast platform. You'll find out all about us on our website at www.perfect-chaos.org. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Perfect Chaos 7, Instagram Perfect Chaos 7. Facebook has the A Perfect Chaos 7. And
TikTok
at perfect_chaos_podcast. Personally, you can find us at
I am on Twixer. That's the new name. I bet I'll copyright Elon gets it.
There you go.
I'm on Twixer at DRR Blevins.
And you can find me at DS Blev. If you're following us on the Spotify platform, you can hit the message button and send us a voice message, and we'd love to include those in our future podcasts.
I'm also on TikTok at RondaMB.
There you go.
You are not.
I am not. I do not.
You are not allowed.
I do not have the talk.
You do not have the talk.
You know, so I just have to wait until everybody transfers it over to Instagram.
I know, which is why it gets slightly annoying when you send me Instagram reels that I saw on TikTok 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, you know, it's because I'm so far behind. So, well, hey, but there, like I said, there are a lot of things that are coming up. We're working on some very specific details where you may see us in person here in the near future if you are so interested. So we're going to come up with those plans and get those out to you soon, probably as soon as next week. So
as soon as next week, huh?
So until next week, remain calm in your perfect chaos.